Hey, good evening. How was your day today? Good. Hey, did anybody go jump in a lake? I tell you, today was a good day to jump in a lake. Whew. Well, good. Hey, you guys, I've been having a great week with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to spend time with you each day. And as we get started tonight, I thought what we would do is we'd spend a little time clarifying some things. All right? And what I'd like to clarify, first of all, is this. Maybe this is more of a review. This book is the Bible. It is true from cover to cover. Okay? That means everything in this book is true. And if what's in it is true, then we need to choose to live by it if we want to experience that. And here's what else I wanted to kind of just touch on, because we've talked about some big things. We've talked about being a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand what that looks like. So tonight, I brought some things to help me, because I don't know about you guys, but I am a visual learner. And so I brought God to help me. All right? It's always a big, God's on your side. That's a good thing. All right? But reality is this. I want you to understand this is your life. All right? This represents your life. Now, you thought you were much greater than a box, didn't you? Yeah, I know. I thought I was. All right? But really, this is representing your who you are. And understand this, too. That according to the Word of God, at the time that you were born with sin in your life. All right? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So, here you are. You are born. You have sin in you. Not only that, you guys, according to the Word of God, you are in sin. Now look at you. What do you see? Sin. When God looked at you, what did He see? Sin. And we know that according to the Word of God, that God is holy. He is perfect. He is blameless. And He cannot stand sin. Yet He loves you. And so we had this issue. God had this issue. He loved man, but He hated sin. What was He going to do? God wasn't wondering what He was going to do. He had a plan the entire time. And let me tell you what God did. You guys, this is what it means. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. This is what it means. Your sin requires a punishment. And that punishment is separation from God. All right? Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." You guys, that sin required death. This is what God did. He reached down and He took you out of sin. He took sin out of you, and He placed it in Christ, and He put Christ's righteousness in you. Look at this. Your sin was placed on Jesus Christ when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus paid the punishment for your sin, and you can experience that forgiveness when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. Acts 16:31 tells us that. You guys, the first step to be true follower of Jesus Christ is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging that you need Jesus as your Savior, because you can't save yourself from your sin. But you know what? God is so awesome. Because not only does He put Christ in us, and we're going to talk about that a little more later, He puts us in Christ. Now look at you. What do you see? Christ. When God looks at you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Why do you not have to pay the punishment for your sin if you believed on Jesus? Because Jesus did, and God sees Jesus' righteousness. Isn't that awesome? Now, don't misunderstand. There's still consequence for sin, but punishment for the sin is what Jesus paid for. If you are going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the first thing you must do is believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And here's the other thing. You need to live like this is true. Do you know how many of us live? We live like this. We choose and we put our life in sin. Hold on, I'm getting confused. I do that. Hey, look it. Can you see Christ in there? Kind of hard, because we choose to live in sin and we act out like sin is our life. But if you truly believed on Jesus Christ, that's not the case. And so, we have to, let's say, goodbye to sin. It's a process that takes time. It takes work. And we're going to talk about that more over the next few days. But you guys, I want you to understand this. If you have truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, truly believed, God says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never. Man, you can't find a friend like that. So, that was our background. Now we're going to get back to Solomon. You ready to change gears? Changing gears. Here we go. Let's see. First thing I need to do is my water. Very good. Somebody's on the right page. All right. Here's this water. For many, many years, my father David had wanted to build a temple for God. My father David felt horrible that he, the king, lived in this wonderful palace, but God of the universe, the creator of all things, his spirit resided in a tent. God had a tent. David had a palace. And David wanted to do something. My father wanted to do something about it. But when he went and he said to God, I want to build you this great palace, God said, no. You're not the man. You have blood on your hands. You have killed people as a warrior. And as a result of that, you're not the man to build that temple. So my father David started collecting all these things. He gathered all kinds of material for his son to build the temple. Well, that's me. I'm his son. And so one of the first things as king that I decided to do was to build a temple for God. Now, you guys, think about this. How do you build a building good enough for the Almighty God? You can't. It's impossible. What can I do? It doesn't matter if I'm the wisest guy in the world, the wisest man. It's impossible. Nothing I can do would be good enough for what God needed. But what did God require of me? To do my best. He required that I give it my all. And you guys, and so that's what I did. I started gathering all this material to build this temple. Do you know that I got people from all over the place? I had 153,000 men come and work on this temple. And I'm not talking about just anybody. I wanted the best of the best. I brought in people from other countries that had specialties in working with certain types of wood. I brought in rock cutters that knew how to cut rock and shape it in such a perfect way. And we began to build this temple. I want you to understand that this temple was a huge thing. And just to give you a little picture of that, I want to tell you about one room in particular. It was called the Most Holy Place. All right? Now, the Most Holy Place, it was 30 feet by 30 feet by 30 feet. Okay, good. Here, this is more what it looked like. It went from about right here, all the way to over here, and then back to that booth. And that ceiling isn't tall enough. Okay? 30 by 30 by 30, okay? 30 feet square. That was one room. But this is just one room. And in that one room, after it was completed, we took gold and we covered the walls in gold. Not gold paint. Pure gold. True gold. Do you know how much gold we put on those walls? 23 tons of gold. Do you know what 23 tons of gold looks like? Yeah, me neither. I've never seen. Hey, it would be like 23 draft horses. All right? Here, maybe this will help a little bit. 23 horses that big, 2,000 pounds is a ton. 23 times that. You guys, that's a lot of gold. And that was one room. Because we wanted to do our best for God. We wanted to give to Him everything that we could. Here's something else that we put in this temple. We put, it was called a sea of glass. I'm sorry. A sea of brass. And you guys, this thing was a big bowl. All right, this big bowl was 45 feet around the circumference, right? You know what the circumference is? The outside edge, all the way around. Okay? It could hold 17,500 gallons of water. That's just a little bit of water. You guys, nothing we could do would be big enough and good enough for God. All we had to do was our absolute best. And so we built this temple. It took me 20 years to build this temple. And as an end result, we had this beautiful, gorgeous temple that we gave to God. But let me tell you, when we brought it before God, and when we had that time where we offered it to God, we knew that it wasn't enough. But we offered it to God and we said, God, You who is great in the earth itself isn't even enough for Your footstool. Please accept this out of our love for You. And this is what God did. God's glory, His Spirit came and it resided in that temple. God honored us for giving it our absolute best. For giving Him all that we had. All for the glory of our Lord. There's times that I've wondered, as I've looked back on my life a little bit, I've wondered if the whole reason that I was born was to be king of Israel. And part of my role or my purpose in this life was to build this temple for God. Was that why I exist? Was that why I was born? And that's something that I've wondered. And I believe that there's truth to that. God created me to be used in this way for Him. And tomorrow we'll have to hear more about the life of Solomon. Thank you, guys. Hey, again, we have some questions, right? We kind of brought them up this morning with dogs running all over the place in here. But let's talk about those questions because it fits with the story of Solomon. It fits with the life that you guys have to live. And my question for you to start with is, why were you created? What were you created for? Maybe that's the question. There it is. Okay. What were you created for? Well, Solomon, after... You can look at Solomon's life and you can see part of his purpose was to be king of Israel. Part of his purpose was to build this palace for God. But why do you exist? You know what? Some people think that they're an accident. You know what? Some people's parents tell them that they're an accident. You were not supposed to happen. Let me tell you, in God's book, there is absolutely no accidents whatsoever. Every one of you is intentionally planned by God. And God has a purpose for your life. Here's something that's important for us to understand. We were created to bring glory to God. All right? Now that's heavy, right? Because when I think about it, you mean it's not about me? It's about God? Yeah, it's about God. And you want to know when you will be the happiest in your life? When you'll be filled with the most joy is when you are bringing glory to God. That's it. Whew. Okay. But how? Oh, we're going to talk about that as we go. All right? You probably aren't going to walk out of here with the answers to that tonight. But understand this. And here's going to be, all right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." You know, sometimes we stress trying to figure out what is it that God has us to do. Because you understand, I'm not a king in real life, right? Me, Jonathan, I'm not a king. Do you know that I do not have 23 tons of gold? Do you have 23 tons of gold? Yeah, I wish. Okay, without all that gold, without being king, it's hard for me to do stuff, right? How about being a middle schooler? Is it hard for you to do stuff for God? It can be. But God's not asking you to build a great building. God's asking you to say yes to the things that he asks. All right, what are those things? Oh, let's talk about them here in just a second. Because here's the next thing. How do you determine value? Remember, we talked about that again this morning. You know, again, you and I determine value by looking at things. This is how I determine if I'm valuable. And Curtis, is that right? All right, Curtis hit on it really well earlier. And I'm glad you did, because this is how I determine value. I determine value if I'm valuable if I do things well, right? Don't we have that tendency in our life? If I do something really, really well, and if I'm the best, that makes me really valuable. Isn't that how we feel? But is that how God feels? No. Remember, this is you. In God's eyes, this is you. Let's look at it a different way. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Do you know this? That God chose you to become his child. God picked you to become his child. Do you think that would mean that you have value to God? Oh, yeah. You have great value to God because God intentionally picked you to be his child. What's your part? You believe on him. Remember, when Solomon built the temple, what did God do? His spirit came and lived in the temple, right? Where does the spirit of God dwell now? In us. You are the temple of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. Guess what? I can't fathom that. I don't understand it. Me? No way. But yes, God's Spirit lives within us. Now, let's go. How do I know what I'm created for? I listen to the Spirit of God as I read the Word of God, and as I obey God's Word over a period of time, God will show us what we are supposed to be. It's not going to happen today, most likely. But I will tell you that if you pay attention and you listen, you can hear God's calling. Now, I say that, and I want to be careful, because not everybody hears it at the same time and in the same way. Does that make sense? All right? So I don't want you to feel left out or feel like, oh, I'm not a very good Christian because I haven't heard God call me. Does that make, okay? I want that to be very, very clear. But I want to tell you this. I was your age, and God and I had an argument. We did. We went round and round, and I laid in bed and said, "No, I don't think so." And God said, "Yes, I think so." You know what that argument was? God called me to teach the Word of God. He called me to become a teacher of the Bible. I thought in my mind that God was saying, "You need to be a preacher." And I said, "I want to be a football player. I don't want to be a preacher." I mean, is a preacher cool? The answer is yes, okay? But I struggled with that. I want to tell you something right straight here forward. If God wants me to be a preacher, I will be a preacher. I will go to a church. I will do whatever God wants me to do. But right now, I feel that God has called me to teach the Word of God. I get the privilege of doing it with horses and dogs and sheep. It's great. You guys, pay attention. For some of you, the Lord may be calling this week. Who knows? But I will tell you this. Whatever you hear has to line up with the Word of God. It absolutely has to. God will not call you to do something that is different than His Word says. Does that make sense? You follow that? Because that's really important, because there's some people who get some really wacky ideas. They do. They get some ideas that say, you know what? God told me to blow you up. That doesn't work. All right? So you must follow the Word of God. Hey, just a couple more things. Are you willing to trust God? You want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We talked about this morning. You must be willing to trust God. How do we trust God? How do you do it? First of all, you have to believe. Now, do I believe that this stool will hold me? Well, there's only one way to truly prove that I believe that this stool will hold me, isn't there? I have to sit on it. Belief requires action, doesn't it? It doesn't do me any good to say, I believe in this stool. I am convinced that this stool will hold me. And then my legs get really, really tired, but I'm afraid to sit on the stool because I really don't believe it'll hold me. Does that make sense? All right? Here's what we say. I believe God, but God says, hey, what if God says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Does God say that? Yes. All right? Man, you're on the spot today, Curtis, because you're hitting it. Because I was sitting there and I was putting this stuff together and I said, you know what? There's some people in this room who use their mouth to rip down other people. There's got to be people in this room that do that because that's what we do. And God says don't do this. Here's my question for you. Do you believe God? Do you trust God? If you trust God, you're going to say, okay, God, this is going to hurt because my friends are going to make fun of me. Because I'm no longer picking on other people. Do you trust God enough to take that step to say no to the sin of ripping down other people? Do you trust God enough to stop swearing? Hey, look through the Word of God. The Word of God is full. The Word of God is full on things that God has put out there to protect us. We look at them as rules, don't we? They're not these rules to contain you. These are rules to protect you. Hey, do you realize that if I don't cut you down and you don't cut me down, that protects us, doesn't it? It's for the good of everybody. God knew what He was doing. Hey, when God said sex is only for marriage, it was for the good of everybody. It was to protect you. You guys, you have this choice. Are you going to trust what you feel or trust God? Here's what I mean by that. My feelings say I need to do what everybody else is doing because they'll make fun of me. My feelings say, hey, you know what? I want to do this. And so I do it. But if I trust God, I have to say no to my feelings. Sometimes. So here you guys go. One of the steps to being a follower of God is trusting God that you can obey Him and that He will take care of you. Does that mean that everything's going to go okay? It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Again, great verse. You should have just stayed up here. All right? Because here's the deal. In this world, we will have trouble. When you stand up for Jesus, sometimes it's going to be hard. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to laugh. People are not going to understand. You know, I was a junior in high school. This girl, she was hot. I'm telling you. She was a cheerleader. I mean, she was all that. Or so I thought at junior high and high school. I wanted to date her, but she wasn't a believer in Jesus Christ. Sat down and talked with my folks, and they said, no. You don't want to do this, and we're going to ask you not to. I listened to my parents that day. I want to tell you how thankful I am. Less than a year later, she was pregnant. I had lots of friends go, what in the heck are you doing? She wants to be with you. I don't understand you, man. You know what? They don't have to understand. What has to happen is I have to be right with my God. And you guys, that is how we spend time in the Word of God. We read the Word of God, and then we do our best to live the Word of God. We make mistakes sometimes. We ask for forgiveness, as we talked about last night, but we go back and we keep trying. Remember how Ranahan tried and tried to get into the wheelbarrow or tried to go over the thing? It takes tries. It takes time. It takes work. So, as we finish tonight, here's my questions for you. What were you created for? How do you determine value? And are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to trust God with the hard thing? With the hard things of making it a practice in your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of Solomon. Lord, I pray that we will seek your face, that we will spend time in the Word of God to learn the truth of God. And Lord, as we learn this truth, I pray that we will have the faith to live it out. Even though it's hard, even though it's work, Lord, give us that faith. Give us the ability to stand firm for you. And we pray that we do this not for our glory, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.